right. So today, guys, this is a little out of the norm. So if this is your first time with us or kind of checking out the church, you actually picked a really good day to be here, because at least once a year we try to come back to the vision of what our church is about. Why in the world are we even here? We began meeting in a living room in 2012. And at that point in 2012, there were already at least 180 churches in Spokane and Spokane Valley and Airway Heights, and you know, but our greater Spokane area, not including Idaho, Coeur d'Alene and all those, 180 churches. Why in the world do we need to plant another church in Christian America, right? In Christian Spokane. But the reality is, if you tried to pack all of the people in our city into every one of the churches in Spokane, we couldn't fit 20%. We couldn't do it. And there's a lot of people in our city that need Jesus, that don't know what we've been singing about, what we've been celebrating today. They don't know. Or they may think they know because they've grown up around Christians, or they went to a church, or and think, oh yeah, I've kind of heard that. You know, I believe Jesus was a real person. But God wants people to really know him. Know him. And we felt like God was the one who said, come and do this. And so we just were obedient. We said, okay, we'll do it. And what I want to talk about today is a couple of things. Who is God calling us to be in 2017? Some of that doesn't change from who we've already been. But for some of you, this is the first time you'll hear that. Who is God calling us to be? And what is God calling us to do in 2017? So I want to remind you of some things that don't change. There's anything you see about our church, you're going to see this little phrase: glorifying God as we enjoy and serve him, each other, our city, and the nations of the world. This is the mission statement of Grace Church Spokane. Glorifying God as we enjoy and serve him. It starts right there. And there's three verbs in this: glorify, enjoy, and serve. And if we are keeping Christ at the center of everything we do, and whatever ministry we take on, whatever task as a church we say we feel called to do this, it needs to first be rooted here in glorifying God. This is about him. Our relationships are about him. Our friendships are about him. The mission that we're on together is about him. And if you missed it this weekend, Randy and Sherry Simon did a marriage conference for us. We've never done one as a church before. 40 years of marriage. And actually, the marketing way to say that is, between the two of you, 80 years of marriage experience. 80 years of marriage experience, right? So 40 years of marriage, and we just got to sit and learn from these two. And they kept coming back to, our relationship as husband and wife is really about Christ and the church. So even when we're talking about home life and developing relationship with our husbands and wives, future husbands and wives, we want to glorify Jesus and represent him well. And the two ways that we do that are, first, we enjoy him. And from that place of enjoying him, enjoying relationship with him, enjoying what he has purchased for us, from that place of enjoying God comes the fuel to serve him and to serve each other and to serve Spokane and to serve our nation and the nations of the world. It goes in that order. We're glorifying God by first enjoying him and then serving him. And this is going to translate into everything I'm talking about today. Because we want to enjoy and serve one another. Not just that I've got to commit to serve, I'm going to serve the church better. Well, you're actually called into a real relationship and friendship to enjoy one another. And I'll just let the cat out of the bag. The biggest thing we're going after this year is that. Enjoying one another. Friendship, relationship, fellowship is the church word to put on it. Enjoying one another and serving each other from that place. So even if this is your first time here, you might think, wow, is there a place for me in this? Yeah. Get to know us. We want to get to know you. Let's enjoy one another and then let's serve together in the world. There's three key scriptures that really define who we are. As a church. Now, if you look at our website, you'll see core values there and statement of faith that goes way beyond what I'm going to talk about today. But when we were coming here and praying about coming here in about 2011, before my family had even moved here, I was saying, God, there's 180 churches in this city. What are we supposed to do here? Like, what do we do that's not already being done? And I was reading my Bible. It wasn't like I had had this intense prayer moment first of saying, God, what does it look like? Although I was having that. But I was just sitting down reading my Bible one morning, and I read this from 1 Samuel 22. I'm going to read verse 1. Verse 2 is going to be on the screen. David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. David's on the run. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So he became captain over them. And there were about 400 men with him. That scripture just like popped off of the page at me. The distressed. The indebted. Donald, do you happen to have, are you looking at your Bible app by any chance? Donald always reads out of the Holman Christian Standard, which is a great translation as well. And instead of distressed, I'm trying to remember I think he says the desperate. I think that's what it is. In fact, now I remember it. It is. You don't even have to look it up, Donald. I remember now. If I'm wrong, though, tell me. If I'm wrong, tell me. Everyone who was in distress, or everyone who was desperate, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who's discontent, and in my translation in the ESV, it says everyone who was bitter in soul. It's a deep level of discontentment. I've never seen a more deep level of discontentment in our nation than I'm seeing right now. I'm not saying there haven't been times where we've been as polarized. We had a civil war, for crying out loud. We're a little bit out of our depth if we're saying it's never been this bad. Well, we have been at war killing each other. But it's pretty polarized. And on both sides of the arguments, you see this bitterness in people's souls. You see a deep discontentment and distress. People are afraid. People are desperate. They're saying stupid things because they're fearful. In this exact situation, this kind of situation, God sent a man named David. David himself is on the run. But there's an atmosphere around this guy. And as people begin to gather to him, there's an atmosphere with these guys where those in distress and who are desperate, those who are in debt, they don't even, that's bad in those days. You couldn't just put it on your credit card. It was, you're going to go to prison or you're going to, people who are really in trouble can gather, but it says that he became a captain over them. He became a leader over them. These people were mobilized for something. Now, I'm going to hit a few little things here. You can go pretty quickly through this. They came as they were. They didn't have to pretend they weren't in distress. They didn't have to pretend they weren't in debt. Pretend that they're not bitter in their souls or discontent with the world and the political situation. They came as they were. We want to be that kind of a church where people can come as they are. They don't have to pretend there's something else. Come as you are. Now, we're not going to lie to you. Say, oh, you know what? The way you are is perfect. Just be that way. God doesn't lie to us and say that. He says, hey, I came to save sinners. That's you. That's me. He came to save us. He came to change us. Shocking words in 2017. Someone would ask you to change? Yes. Sorry. Not sorry. And these people, they begin to gather together. 400 men. This must have been quite the cave. I kind of want to go see this cave someday. I don't know if anyone knows where it is. I've never looked it up to see, but I kind of want to go see this. But they gathered together. We want to be a gathered people. Not waiting until we've got life all figured out, but a gathered people. Not just coming to like a religious meeting crowd where we kind of come together on a Sunday and we like, oh, here we are. Yay, here. Good to see you. How's the last 7 days been for your life been? But people who are actually gathering their lives together. Now, you don't have to do that. You can come and worship with us and we're gonna meet with Jesus together. Anyone's welcome to come. But what we feel called to build is a family, community, where we become mobilized together for a purpose, mobilized for a mission, where we discover new direction, new vision for our lives. Guys, God has vision for your life. He has purpose for your life, or he would have wiped you out a long time ago and taken you on to heaven. But you're still here. Here we are. Okay, God, what do you have for us? Let's do it. 1 Samuel 22:2. This is a big one. If you want to really hear just a message on that scripture, you can listen to it. It's on our podcast. I think Donald has it scrolling on the website too. It's just called 400, a vision of 400 men and what that could look like. Because it represents a whole lot more in terms of women and children too. Second scripture that really defines us and who we are is Ephesians 2. There it is, 2:15 and 16. And it picks up in the middle of the verse here. That he might create in himself one new man in place of the two. Now, Paul is writing about the Jew and the Gentile. And that God is doing away with the walls of separation. Now, does it mean they're no longer Jews and they're no longer Gentiles? No, they're still Jews and they're still Gentiles, but no longer are they separated. I just want to be really clear about that. You could be like the, transracial? I don't know how you're still who you are. One new man in place of the two, so making peace, and he might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And you say, how does this apply to us? We feel like God has called us to be multicultural. He's called us to be multi-ethnic. He's called us, I also have written down here, male and female. Yes, he has called us to be male and female. Rich and poor coming together. Young and old coming together. That the generations aren't just dividing off from each other. That it's not just the men doing everything and the women kind of along for the ride. That it's not just those who have the means who call all the shots. But in one of the Psalms, it says that God actually raises up the poor from the ash heap and causes them to sit as princes with his people. That's a powerful statement. That you could come in and have nothing, and yet God looks at you and says, I'm going to seat you as a prince with my people. This idea of the one new man in Christ is powerful. It shapes who we are. Now, this thing that Becca talked about that's happening today, I want to be really clear. It's called a Rally for Refugees on the Gonzaga campus. It's not called Protest for Refugees. It's not called, it's not meant to be a huge, a protest or anything. But we're getting together with refugees who are in this city and churches who are in this city to say, God's people love you. Christians love you. And we are embracing the stranger among us. However you got here, whatever your motives were for getting here, God's got a better one. And we're embracing that. I'm going to be there at 2:00. I invite anyone of you want to come, come. It's just representing a little piece of who we are saying, yeah, God's called us to be this. We began to pray this way from before we ever started meeting publicly. It was the very first prayer gathering we had was in, was it your grandma and grandpa Scott's house, I think. We went over to Anna's grandma and grandpa Scott's house up on Five Mile Prairie. And we prayed together with a very small group of us. And I shared this vision. I said, God wants to make us multi-ethnic, multiracial. And one of the people in the room actually laughed. And they said, do you realize that Spokane is like 90% white? And I said, all I know is this is what God is saying we are to ask him for. So we're going to ask him for it no matter how crazy it sounds. And so we're still asking for it. God, do this with us. So if you're going to hang out with us, that's a part of who we are. Just got to know that. Third scripture is this. Acts 2, 42 through 47. We're only going to read verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. You follow this on through in the next few verses and you see a people deeply committed to one another. Deep friendships, deep fellowship together. And what happens is God adds to these people daily because there's a healthy environment for growth. The point isn't growth. It's just a healthy environment that God can add to. And we'll get to that in a minute. There was four things that these people were devoted to. We want to be a devoted people. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. Can I just give you a quick hint here? If you look at the New Testament in your Bible, you get a pretty good idea of the apostles' teaching. They were referencing back to the scriptures, which their scriptures would have been the Old Testament, and showing and revealing Jesus, revealing the gospel, revealing God's great plan all through it. And they were writing it down. They would write letters to the churches. What does this look like? What does this look like? How do we walk this out? How do we live what Jesus called us to live? How do we be who he called us to be? Well, we want to be devoted to the apostles' teaching, devoted to the scriptures, devoted to learning, growing. Now, I want to emphasize one thing here. Devoted to the apostles' teaching. These guys were in Jerusalem. This was the Jerusalem church in Acts chapter 2. Holy Spirit has just been poured out on these people. They are radically different. They've been emboldened. They are full of the Spirit of God. And the apostles are with them. We can hear this. being devoted to the apostles' teaching and go, man, I'm going to go find a really good podcast. And I'm going to listen to some good teaching. I'm going to go find some stuff. Can we think not in terms of podcasts, but in terms of people? These guys were gathered to the apostles. They were listening, learning from fathers, not just from Facebook. It's a relational thing. We said we're a gathered people. We want to learn. Am I saying don't listen to podcasts and don't follow links on Facebook? No, I do that too. But we need fathers in our life. We need people that we're actually accountable to who are teaching us. This is important. This is part of who we are. They're devoted to the apostles' teaching. They're devoted to the fellowship. I like this. It's the fellowship. Not only devoted to Bible study, but devoted to brothers. Devoted to one another. Real friendship. And they're devoted to this. Are you devoted to this? Are you devoted to deep and real friendship with the people of God? In relationships where there's, as Randy and Sherry talked about, face-to-face relationships where friends can get right up in your face. He's talking about husbands and wives when God creates a helper suitable for Adam. She's one who can stand in his face right there. Do you have those relationships in the church? Do you have those Christian relationships where there's deep friendship and accountability? People who can speak things to you. You need it. We all need it. They're devoted to the breaking of bread. Now, we already have established they would get together in each other's homes. They would hang out together. They were in friendship. So they're eating together in each other's homes. They're hanging out, having meals together. This is good. But when we're talking about the breaking of bread, we're talking about not just having a meal, but a meal with Jesus at the middle. The breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper, communion, remembering Jesus. We'll do that together next week. We're in our worship time. We will remember the death of Jesus. We will remember what he's done for us as we receive the Lord's Supper together. Now, I think we do this in a really lame way in the U.S. Here's your little cup. Here's your little bite, half of a bite. And we call that the Lord's Supper. I think the Lord is a little more generous than that. A little more lavish. Like, let's have the Lord's Supper. Like, can I have my own supper? That one I get, you know. But the Lord's Supper. Maybe we'll splurge a little bit next week now that I said that. Let's do it for real. Let's do it for real. We have got room to grow in this. But do you get the idea? They're devoted to this. The remembering Jesus. Jesus is at the middle. And they're devoted to the prayers. Not just devoted to meetings, but to meeting with God. Devoted to a vertical relationship with God. There's a dependency in this. There's a faith element in this where we're a people devoted to prayer. Are we growing in these areas? Are you growing in these areas? Think about these four areas of the apostles' teaching: learning, growing in accountability, fellowship, real friendship with accountability, the breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper, remembering this and the depths of this, devoted to prayer. I would venture to say we can all grow in this. One or more of these areas, we go, okay, Jesus, you know and I know I need some growth here. Well, the good news is he's more committed to that than you could possibly hope to be. That's good news. He's on your side. Okay. None of that is a change from what we've said from day one. This is who we are called to be. Now, how well we walk it out, I think we have been growing just in recent months of saying, okay, God, we say this, but how do we really do this? And we've got room to grow, and we're going to go for that. So what is God calling us to do in 2017? Very simply this. Oh, okay. Let's go on to the next slide. Prepare an atmosphere for God to add to us. Now, what we could mess this whole thing up and say, the focus is all about God adding to us. We actually would completely miss the focus. We want to prepare an atmosphere where God can add to us. It actually comes back to everything I already said. How do we prepare an atmosphere that God wants to add to, that God wants to bless and grow? And the first area is this, an atmosphere of friendship. An atmosphere of friendship. We are planning a few easy invite gatherings, like this Friday, Guys Night. Guys Night is not going to be a Bible study. We're going to play board games. We're going to hang out. We're going to be friends. We're going to have snacks. We're just going to hang out. And I know the ladies have done several different ladies' events where they'll do either like a... I know you've done ladies' tea. I don't want to be like Guys Night or ladies' tea. Ladies, you could go do something, you know, whatever you want to do. But we probably aren't going to plan a guy's tea, though. I'm just saying. See? I'm telling you, no guys are coming to that. We're like, what? We're not in England. Guys' night. Come hang out. Just be friends. Girls' night. I've had several of you ask me and say, hey, can we do a potluck sometime soon? Yeah. Plan it. I'm not going to plan it. But, yeah. Probably a lot of you haven't even seen that the whole other side of this building in the basement has a fantastic hall downstairs with a full kitchen and loads of room for us to hang out. And it's a great, great place. We can do it after church. We have this whole building. We have this room and the office right on the other side of the hall right there. 24/7. This is ours. The rest of the building we have until 3 o'clock on Sundays. And there's another church that's going to come in and they start meeting in the other auditorium. They start their meeting at around 2. But we can still be eating downstairs at the same time. So we can do this stuff. But you're going to plan it. You're going to do it. Not me. So can we do it? Yes. If you're going, I like this idea. Okay. Talk to us. Let's make it happen. We're planning a summer camp out. We're not exactly sure how that's going to look yet. Anna Christensen's working on it, working on venue and where we're going to go. Summer camp out, where we'll go up. And it's like Friday through Sunday. We won't meet here that Sunday. We'll be at wherever we're camping. And we're going to just hang out and be friends. And we'll have our Sunday meeting at the campground. So we're talking about just strictly relational things that we're doing together. Now, Sundays. Now, some of you are going to feel like I'm spanking you, and I'm not trying to spank you on this. We have this room. We've promised them we won't show up until about 10 o'clock because the Lutherans start their meeting at 9:45. And we just kind of want to respect what's going on with them. But at 10 o'clock, usually about 10 o'clock is when my family gets here. We unlock this and we come in and just start setting things up. You guys are invited. Anytime after 10, come early and hang out. If our meeting starts at 11 and we get here at 10:55, what we're communicating to everyone else is that this meeting is really more about us as individuals than being together and being here for each other. Now, I fully realize that almost everybody got here today just before the meeting. So, like I said, you're going to feel like I'm spanking you. I'm not trying to spank you in this. I'm just saying, hey, we have opportunity to all gather in the same place. It's different than community groups, which I'm going to talk about in a minute, where the whole church comes together at the same time to encourage one another. Come early and hang out. You know why? You're thinking, we're not quite ready to start the meeting yet. I'm trying to talk to everybody. It's because you got here 5 minutes before the meeting started. And now you're trying to fill all the relationship up in 5 minutes. Just come earlier. Come hang out with us. Okay. When we get together on Sundays, there's a lot that happens. And my wife has been fantastic, and most of you have no idea. Most of you have no idea what she puts in behind the scenes to serve you all. But we have inadvertently done something in 2015 and 2016 where we have let Becca, and I have let Becca do too much when we all get together. And it sets her up to not be able to enjoy the time we have to be together, because she is trying to do everything to make it possible for everyone else to enjoy it. And she's carrying too much of it. And I have to repent on that, because I'm the guy who let it happen. I am no longer going to let it happen. And if someone else isn't, again, this isn't spanking, okay? It's just reality. If someone else isn't going to make the coffee or take care of the snacks, we can live without it. I think we can survive. Now, I know, we're in the Northwest. Can we really live without it? I don't know. We've never even tried this. Life without coffee? I don't know. Can we do it? Well, we don't have to know. That's like a bridge too far sometimes. Isn't it? It's all right. Someone own this. Let's own this together when we come together. There's all kinds of ways to own this. Hospitality, get here early and be friendly. You don't have to have a badge that says hospitality to be friendly. You guys are already friendly. You know what we hear when guests come? This church is so friendly. That's awesome. Well done. Well done. Let's just be early a few minutes. Let's be friendly a few minutes early. We can do it. We can do it. Next week when we do communion, my job as an elder is to oversee it and make sure that these things happen. But if any of you are like, I would love, I just, this burns in my heart. Talk to me. You could be the one sharing the scripture, leading the church in this. Fantastic. There's room for us to do this together. You want to pick up the donuts? I was going to say cookies and donuts, and it all kind of ran together in my notes. I don't know what doonies are. It's like a new snack. Invented right here. Trademark it. We'll make millions. Okay. It's a donut and a cookie. Okay. We will reimburse you up to $10. Every week, if you say, I want to do this, we have that budgeted in. And usually I'm stopping off and I'm picking it up and I'm taking care of it. But we'll reimburse. It's easy things. If you want to get healthy food, awful stuff like gluten-free things and soy instead of sugar and all that, whatever. That's great. You do it. I won't eat that, but you can get it. If we do this together on Sundays, every aspect of it, if we do this together, you know what it does? It helps Becca and I model what we talk about. The better we do this together, the better at every level we model who we say we are as an Acts 2:42 church. And we want to do this well. And I want to serve my wife well in this as well, because I want my wife to keep serving me well, like she always does. Okay, that's our Sundays. But that's such a small piece of the pie. Isn't it? Think about your week. That's a small piece. Community groups. We're committed to this. We're committed to fellowship and relationship. You don't have, I already said this, you don't have to commit to a community group to be a part of Grace Church Spokane. But this is a key place where real friendships and a depth of friendship grows, and we live out our mission from this. Sometimes community group is a Bible study. And can I just say, if you want to go to a fantastic time, a Bible study, Randy and Sherry are leading the community group that we're a part of. And Randy is a teacher. And he loves to dig into the word. It doesn't matter if it's planned or not. Randy will mine the scriptures. And it's beautiful. And if anything, we have to say, Randy, let other people talk. Because he's just got so much in him. Sometimes it's a Bible study. Sometimes it's a barbecue. Sometimes it's outreach and service into the community. And the way we've designed our church to function, and we're going after this more in 2017, is that the mission we're taking on in the city is coming out of the community groups. So your community group may say, we are really passionate about, you know, the refugees. And another community group might say, we're really passionate about fatherless kids. Just because John is passionate about refugees doesn't mean that has to be your outreach into Spokane. Yours could be completely different. Talk with your community group about it and say, hey, we want to do this. And maybe you're going, I know when those community groups meet and I can't meet. Well, talk to me. Maybe we start another one. Think about what you're passionate about. They don't all have to look the same. Okay. We're going after this year. We also want to create an atmosphere of belonging. Family identity, ownership, security. Now, go to the next. We're starting this in the first weekend of March. And not everyone may be able to come, and that is okay. This isn't a pressurized situation. But when you're finding us, you're finding Grace Church Spokane, and you're thinking, I really want to, what is this church all about? You don't have to wait months to figure out, or just like, you can look at the website and kind of get an idea. We want to go through some basic teachings of this is who we are, this is what we believe. And we're going to do some Friday night, Saturday morning teachings. The first one is going to be the first weekend in March. And so if you're new around here and you're like, I want to really learn about who we are as a church family, this will help you quickly discover who we are, a place where you can ask your tough questions. What the heck? You guys actually, you teach that apostles and prophets are a thing? Today? Yeah, we actually teach that. Okay, what does that look like? Good question. Come to Vision and Values. You guys actually teach grace? Yeah, we really, really teach it at every level of our church. Yeah. What does that look like? Come hang out. Now, you can also just talk to me. Or Donald, or Randy, or whoever. But we're gonna be doing this and establishing clear identity of who we are. Because we need to know. Family identity. It's an opportunity for us to commit to one another as a church family for one another's success. Why did God bring you here? Not just to make you happy. Shocking again, I know. For the success of one another. This is why we're here. To see one another raised up to be who we're called to be. Atmosphere of belonging. Third thing, the last thing, an atmosphere of faith. Atmosphere of faith, destiny, fellowship with God. What does that mean? Prayer. We have been weak in this area as a church. And this is not a good area to be weak in. I'm not saying your family is weak in prayer. I'm not saying you as an individual are weak in prayer. I'm saying that our life together in prayer has been weak. Where we come together, we meet with God, and we go for things together. We hear from God. We get our direction for how to build well from God. I want to challenge you to a couple of things. When we get together for prayer, there will be times it is physically impossible for you to be here. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's okay. But where possible, let's commit together to pray. When we pray, we are saying, God, we are dependent on you. We're dependent on you to lead us. When we don't pray, what we're saying is, God, we've got this. That is a dumb thing to say. God, we've got this. No, we don't. We need him at every level. There's only two times that we have set up corporately where we say we are coming together to pray. It can happen outside of this. It'll happen in community groups. Yes, there's two times. And one is Sunday at 10:30. Meeting is at 11. From 10:30 to 10:45, we pray. We pray for one another. We pray for those who are serving, those who are ministering to the kids, the musicians, whoever's speaking, which lately has been a lot of me. We're going to start sharing that load back out a bit in 2017 as well. But we pray for one another. It helps you if you come a little bit early for prayer. Whatever has gone on in your week, it kind of helps just settle it. Get your attention on the Lord, how he's wanting to use you to minister to people. So that when the meeting actually starts, you're not having to come in going, oh God, I'm so thirsty, I'm so hungry, I'm so dry. Fill me. You come in saying, oh, we've just had a fantastic time praying for one another. What's God going to do? So I'd challenge you, if you can, come at 10:30. Kids are welcome. We can handle it if little kids are running around and being noisy. Yeah, it's fine. So don't let that be a deterrent. The second time we pray is the first Wednesday of the month at 7 p.m. Right here. 7 o'clock. We try to keep it. If we start on time at 7, we try to keep it to an hour, 7 to 8. Lately, we've been very relational in our time. And then we start a little bit late, and then we run a little past 8. But I promise you, it won't go past 8:30. That's a powerful time together. I'd say, come on and be there. Now, what are we going for? This is going to go really fast. I'm wrapping this up. Things that we are praying for this year. Go ahead and click through that slide. We feel like God is calling us to ask him to do this. Fill this room to where we need to start a second meeting. Because where do we put the people? And we've been given permission from the Lutherans to knock this wall out. This is the old auditorium. And so right behind this door is actually the old stage. And so we have another 8 feet back there. We can grow in this very room all the way up to where we could slam and jam about 100 people in here. That's going to be packed, but we could do it. Without knocking the wall out, we can do about 70 or 80. We're saying, God, if we're preparing this atmosphere, fill it. Fill this place. Fill this place. Interestingly, Donald Easterbrooks told me this week, I said, thinking about growth, and he's like, do we really need to knock that wall out? And I said, well, it would allow us to add about 20 chairs. And he goes, huh, I was praying and I felt like God said, you need to buy another 20 chairs. I was like, that's kind of a weird thing to hear in prayer. You buy 20 chairs? Okay, coincidence? Let's see. But God apparently is instructing us that maybe we need to think about buying some chairs. Second thing we're praying into, how to position ourselves to better serve the refugee, the immigrant, the international population, international students. If we're called to be multicultural, multi-ethnic. God, how do we position ourselves to serve this area of Spokane? How do we do it? We're praying into this. It might be you that has the strategy. It might be you that has creative ideas into some of these areas. We're praying about how to serve in other areas in Spokane. All through Scripture, God expresses his heart for the widow, his heart for the orphan, his heart for the poor, his heart for the fatherless, his heart for the oppressed. Okay, God, how do we position ourselves in Spokane to serve these people? It comes back to community groups. Your community group might have a great idea how you can get involved in an area like this. We're praying into this. How do we do it? A couple ideas. Junior partners with River's Edge Church. They have a ministry to refugee kids. A lot of them who are fatherless kids, and they actually live in like a refugee foster home together, like a group home. And they do a soccer outreach on Friday nights for these kids. And Junior is he's a soccer guy. Junior goes and he partners in that. Sherry Simon is probably not going to go play soccer with refugee kids. But Sherry Simon is a school volunteer. And she goes in and she volunteers her time mentoring students who need extra help in schools. This totally fits. And what works for you may look completely different than what works for me or for Junior. Another thing we're praying into is this. Big dangerous one here. A $4,500 a month budget. Can I just tell you? We don't have that right now. January giving was $3,478 in regular giving. Our minimum budget to squeak by is $3,800. So we were $322 short in January of meeting our minimum budget. But thankfully, some of our Regions Beyond churches from around the world heard that we were struggling financially, and they sent us $4,000 in December to help us do what we feel God's calling us to do. Our brothers and sisters around the world are helping us. That's cool. That's cool. Churches in Africa who are way more poor than us gave into a central fund, and some of that money came here to Spokane to help Grace Church Spokane. Stunning. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Now, what we did is in January, we took up an offering for Regions Beyond churches around the world. And we, in the middle of our poverty, were able to give out $470 back into that. So a little more than 10% of what they gave to us. I was like, okay, that's all right. That's called the church being the church for one another. Now, if you're interested in knowing what that $4,500 a month would look like, I'm happy to tell you that. I think that would be too much detail for today and would get a little bit long. But it's about $1,000 a month more than what we're bringing in now. So we're praying for that. God, what does that look like? It doesn't just mean all of us have to give a lot more money than we're already giving. You guys are a very faithful church. But as God adds and as God grows, guess what? Everything grows. It just happens. This would allow us to remodel. It allow us to increase our local outreach and benevolence, local just ministry, life within the church, international participation. It would allow me to go truly full-time in September. If you don't know, I work full-time for the church, but I'm paid for 20 hours a week. That's okay. That's what it's been. But like I said, we've been counting a lot on Becca and her job and her. She's our main financial support. We would like to be able to count less on that so that we can, as a family, invest our lives more into the church. So all of this stuff, this kind of sets up a lot of health for our church. Last thing, and I'm going to end it with this. We want to expand our leadership base. Now, I've already said we want to even spread out the Sunday morning teachings. We've got Randy Simon sitting here master's in divinity, loads of the word of God in this guy. And he's in a seriously busy season of life. I'm not saying, don't worry, Randy, don't get scared. Randy Simon's going to be pretty, no, I'm not saying that to you. We've got other leaders in the church. We want to keep expanding the leadership base. We are called to be an equipping, sending, releasing church. And that means we start right here locally with training what God has already given, being good stewards with what God has already entrusted to us. But most of you know we've been praying about youth leaders coming in, and James and Lucy Everall, that's weird, it like stuck James and Lucy right on their face. Well, that's who that is, James and Lucy. Except just flip it, because James's name is on Lucy's face, and Lucy's, that didn't quite work. Yeah, they're just all mashed up there. James and Lucy, James is British, and Lucy is Brazilian. And they feel called to be here with us. They are talking about coming for their initial 2 to 2.5 years completely self-supported, which is stunning, almost unheard of, for people to be willing to lay down and commit at that level financially to help us establish youth ministry. And our goal and hope would be that maybe even sooner than that, we could begin to bring them on salary. We're praying into these things. You can see what's on the screen here, things that we're going to pray into. Today you've kind of heard a big broad brush, maybe a few details, but a big broad brush of who we are and who we feel called to be. So you're maybe already thinking, okay, where do I fit? Where do I fit in this? Can I say the very first place we fit is praying into this together. You go, okay, let's pray. Let's pray for this. Let's commit to relationships together, but let's commit to prayer together. So here's what we're going to do to wrap up. We're going to pray. There might be on this list right here, and you could add what this looks like for community groups. You could add that on there. It might be an area that you're really passionate about. Maybe two or three of them. We're just going to take a minute here, and we're just all going to pray. We're going to pray into these things. God, we want to do this together in 2017.